Well, Eliottis Ochoa, leading us into our weekly chat with John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager. Hi, John.
Hi, Tim. How are you and the listening audience?
Good. I suspect you just ran up the stairs to your office.
How did you guess? I actually just got stuffed. I was going to pick up my sandwich, which I call into our lovely downtown restaurant community. And I run over and there was such a long line, which is such a positive sign, that I had to abandon in midline and run back. So I'm hungry, but very well caffeinated.
You're right. In some ways, that is a good sign. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there listening right now and you have questions for John Morrow, drop me a line. dj@kptz.org. That sits right in front of me on the screen and I will ask that question for you. But just to start off, there's a lot to talk about. You were talking about our wonderful eateries downtown, which makes me think of the Streetlets project.
Yeah,
how's that going? I know that you have elicited response from the public, and what have you been hearing?
Yeah, no, it's been great, actually. We have a great partnership with a number of organizations and agencies, and one of those is PT Main Street, and they're famous for a lot of things, but most recently their Art Marker project. PT Main Street put out a survey. I think we received something like maybe 300 responses or so. And that gave us some pretty strong confidence to take a recommendation to council only a few weeks ago to extend that program through the end of the year. That was by far and wide the most popular option. We also said, you know, should they be canceled right now? A couple other little things to note, you know, those street sign or the no parking signs that seem to be in quite a bit of abundance in front of some of the restaurant community. We've narrowed those down. I think those were a little bit overkill as now businesses are back open and dining inside. So we've made some modifications and this will bring us to the end of the year. And I think there's a future conversation about, you know, does this serve a more permanent place in the landscape around Port Townsend? What are the trade-offs? And we'll be sure to make sure we have a very public conversation about that because I know people have opinions.
People do have opinions, of that you can be certain. I have a question from the public and I'm going to read it to you cold because this will be the first time I've read it. This one is...
Now you know how I feel, right?
I don't exactly know how you feel because it's easier to ask the question than it is to answer it. This one is from Jane, and she says, does the city have a sense of how many Port Townsend homes are at risk when the eviction moratorium expires? And is there any planning discussion of how the city joint housing task force might be able to respond when evictions do begin?
Yeah, that's, thank you, Jane, for the question. I know there's probably a lot of Janes in town, but I'm going to suspect I know who I'm speaking to here. So
you
it's always great
do.
To have your voice here. And, you know, that's actually something we were really, if I could just be totally honest here, quite nervous about, you know, because this was playing out at the fairground more than anything else. But that June 30th deadline yesterday, until the governor extended that with his bridge proclamation, that was a pretty hard deadline for a lot of people. This isn't, you know, just like most issues, it's not kind of black and white and easy here. You know, there's some degree of need to remind us that there are some landlords who haven't been paid for quite some time. So it's not, you know, a simple fix solution. But clearly, in a community like ours, there are a very shocking number of, you know, people with paying far more than they should for rent or on their mortgage, and are really housing stressed, you know, and add COVID to that. And it's been really debilitating. I do not have a current estimate of who faces eviction or who's at risk. I do know, like I said, that the community has a higher than normal, higher than state number of people that are paying more than 30% for housing and housing related costs, rent or utilities, not including telephone. That should be a concern regardless. What this eviction moratorium bridge does from the governor's office is actually, you know, if people are trying to find a way to pay you know, and make do on their rent. There can be no action taken by, as I read it, no action taken by landlords until September 1st. So I need to dig in a little bit more in that legislation. I do know that a lot of the providers, county, city, a number of agencies are talking about what this means and a variety of circumstances. So more information to come, I think, but it's a problem, and it's really compounding what was an existing housing crisis before COVID happened.
Well, thank you for that, John Morrow. If you're just joining us, it's John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager. I will move on from the moratorium, and I know that there are many layers to that, and it affects much of what's going on at the fairgrounds also. I do understand that there has been some interim movement on the fairgrounds from the county. This is a county issue, but I'm sure that you are intimately involved with that one. The negotiations, you know, all this hot weather recently has made me think a lot about water and infrastructure, buckling roads, et cetera. So two-part question. How did the heat affect the operations of this city? And what kind of feedback are you getting? I understand that Steve King, your public works director, put out a white paper on the negotiations that are upcoming. I don't suspect it's a beach read. outside of yourself and a handful of others, I'm sure there are many people, not including myself, that have read it. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, sure. I guess I've noted that we've got, obviously hot temperatures make us think about all sorts of things, including staying hydrated. And I was really glad, a few days in advance of that unprecedented once in millennium or more record-setting heat dome, which I have to say was significant, I was trying to explain it to, I hate to bring him in, I might bring him on the show someday. My lovely dad, who lives in Maine, was complaining about similar temperatures, and I had to remind him it's not necessarily the temperatures, it's the readiness and the fact that if this is something this region has never seen before, A, it's a shock, and B, we don't have things like air conditioning that other parts of the country have to deal with some of this temperature and give people a bit of a break. So I'm really grateful that it seems like, by and large, our infrastructure, which we were planning for, keeping our eyes peeled and our ears to the ground on making sure things kind of kept moving. To my knowledge, nothing in the city infrastructure had major challenges, which is exciting. And I'm grateful for that. When you think about water, we did check in with our water team. We've had an above year, snowfall in the region. So in the spring, we started off with a 30% more than normal snowpack. It melted about a week and a half later than normal. So we monitor this with our snowtell site, which is how we measure snow depth, and you can do that across a lot of the Cascades and Olympics. And it looks like stream flows are above average for the month, and they usually kind of peak around now at the end of May, beginning of June, and then drop off. And so we're doing really well in terms of water supply this year. Now, if we happen to have a light winter, and obviously these increased temperatures will evaporate more water in Lord's Lake and City Lake, make snowpack runoff faster. And so there are impacts, but our water situation, barring any sort of drought into the fall, is really positive right now.
Well, I understand that the county courthouse closed because of the heat, no air conditioning. How about city operations? How did we fare on that?
Yeah, no, good question. It was a little touch and go. I was in an all-day set of interviews for East Jefferson Fire and Rescue as one of their panelists, which was a great in itself. And I also just had a catch up with Chief Black a few moments ago, hence being very caffeinated because he and I kind of roll that way. I told all the department directors, because we obviously operate different facilities, have different buildings. So Mountain View is different than City Hall, is different than the libraries, different than the city shops, et cetera. At a Coon House out near the wastewater plant. And so I said to department directors, especially since I was not in the building at the time, that each floor has a thermometer and each floor is a different temperature, different circumstances. If things become unbearable, I was ready to take action and send people home for their safety. So some folks pulled the plug earlier than others, just to be honest. Right around when the temperature got about 90 something, I think, in some offices, which without a bit of a breeze, it was pretty impressive. I tried to go down with the ship, frankly, but at about 96, it was about 4:30 in the afternoon. So I actually pulled the plug. I think I was, there are a few others still here and I encouraged them to get out because it's really hard to stay hydrated and be productive at work if, you know, if it's, it was literally 96 on my thermometer in my office. But I'm sort of unfortunately, you know, going home isn't necessarily an option for people. I mean, it is an option, but it's not like it's any better because, you know, we don't all have air conditioning, including me. But at least you could put some shorts on and, you know, fan yourself off and drink a lot of water and maybe douse your head in water or something. So things fared well. I think from what I understand, the team did very well. I was actually really concerned about those in our public works team who are outside in that heat and in the sun. And they took good care of themselves.
Well, that's a very Port Townsend phrase to use, John Morrow, going down with the ship. Don't do that. Don't go down with the ship.
The ship is sturdy and very, very seaworthy.
Okay. I have another question, and this one is from, and it's your daughter. You, of course, folks, this is radio. But if you were on the Zoom call right now, you would have the pleasure of seeing John Morrow's little daughter, who is very
sweet. I can just briefly introduce Tim to Madeline. Madeline just brought me a sandwich because, like I said, I missed the boat and family to the rescue. I've just got a special delivery from Madeline. So thank you, sweetheart.
Oh, good. Keep dad fed. We need him here in Port Townsend. bye, Madeline. This one's from Harold, and he says, "Dear manager, does the city have a plan for using underutilized city property?"
We do not have a plan. This is, but it is not something we are not considering. Yeah. So I think it's a good question. It leads into, well, what could be a plan? You know, the city owns property around, you know, around the city. Some of it is strategic and important. Some of it houses facilities like City Hall or parks. Some of it maybe not so strategic. So this is the kind of thing that instead of making very ad hoc parcel by parcel decisions, I've had the discussion with my team to say we need a kind of a holistic approach to what our asset plan is. What's our acquisition or our release of assets, and what's the best use for the public? So that is a work in progress. I have no specific plans to share.
Okay, fair enough. But that's one thing I love about this show is that these questions sometimes just pop into our minds as we walk around town. And where else can you just ask the city manager?
Honestly, I love, like, I'm in this still in my like honeymoon phase, and I hope I stay here forever. The fact that the community is asking these kinds of questions is so delightful. And I was just talking to a candidate this morning along with a public works director that he's trying to hire. So we're sort of doing a meet and greet with city manager and just informal. And I was very clear, this community is involved. This community is active. They do their homework. I mean, you know, we're still filling in some gaps of understanding here and there, and that's fine. So am I. But that is, to some people, something they want to run from. It's something I ran toward. And this particular candidate said, "Oh, I love that. That's the kind of community I want to live in." So, you know, it could be two-sided for some people, but for me, I just love the fact you're asking these kind of questions, Tim. It shows we've got a great involved community.
Oh, I do too. Yes. It's one thing I love about this community. We all have our opinions and we are not afraid to share them. Speaking of sharing, somehow I ended up on a list, a human resources list for the city of Port Townsend, and they send me all the open jobs. I'm actually not looking for a job right now. Anything would pay more than what I'm doing presently, but even so. And I'm going to run through this list for you, and you'll see why at the end. Okay, so we have the lateral entry police officer, seasonal parks maintenance worker, code compliance officer, certified building inspector, part-time lifeguard, and my personal favorite, director of people and performance. Now, you're almost going to get me to come out of retirement for this one. Tell me what this is about.
Yeah. So I think there's a couple takeaways from your list here, Tim. One is that it's long, although I did just sign a conditional offer letter to one of those. I won't say which one, just this morning. You know, so what that means to work, and some folks have worked here for over 40 years. But you know, what we were talking about earlier with the stresses on housing really makes it hard for us to attract new candidates to the community if there's no place for them literally to live. So I think you're also seeing the impacts of COVID, and you know, some people are calling this year or a couple years really a threshold moment for deciding, you know what, I'm ready for retirement and that kind of thing. It's a real reckoning for people. So this is not unique to Port Townsend, not unique to Washington State or possibly even the United States. I know it's a pretty big trend. But just to linger on that last job title, I will take responsibility, unfortunately, whether you love it or hate it, for that title. And I'll tell you why it's important to me. I mean, all the jobs and all city staff are important. I sent out an email on Friday, as I do to all my staff, and I said, guess what? We're now able to be as staff if we're vaccinated without masks, if we attest that we've been vaccinated. So we have to protect employees or state requirements, but we are now able to do that if we can validate that we're vaccinated. So I'm coming to visit, and I'm going to sit down with each and every one of the 100 or so, 120 employees, and at least have a conversation after being in hiding really for such a long time. I mean, 15 out of the 18 months I've been here, we've been in this situation. So I cannot wait to connect with my staff. And frankly, that is our most important, you know, assets, kind of a rough word, but the human capital, the people, is how this place runs. And that director of people and performance is traditionally an HR director role. But I feel like human resources is a bit tired of a phrase. And what are our outcomes? Our outcomes are investing in people and driving performance. And so that's why this director has a slightly different ring to it. And it's a huge priority for me. It's a priority to make sure that our team has the skills needed, that we're always constantly learning, and that we're working together to be even more excellent, because we all have learning gaps, including me. And places we need to dig in, and real opportunities for growth and development. So, yes, of course, there's all sorts of HR, you know, legal stuff we need to do and kind of, you know, keep things moving, including recruitment. But I think it's an opportunity for us to up our game in terms of our staff cohesion, our capabilities, and really our organizational culture.
Well, personally, I love the name, although it disappoints me because I was thinking of applying just to bring a Buskers Festival to Port Townsend, like I was at a few years back in Wellington, New Zealand, and all the time I was thinking, oh, Port Townsend needs this. So a director of performance is probably not there to bring a Buskers Festival, but
No. You know, I think that, you know, there we could iterate the role a little bit. If we had a director of busking, I don't know if that would be terrible for a town like Port Townsend. It just might be outside of what we could afford at this point.
I'll raise my hand for that one. We have 5 minutes, John Morrow. Still time for another question if you're sure out there and you have something on your mind.
No, shoot, Tim. I love getting through as many of these as I can because I feel like somebody is either crying or laughing at the end of it.
Yes.
I owe it to the listening public to answer their questions.
Well, the fact is I don't have a new one right now, but if something shows up on this screen, you'll be the first to know. Next week, just to give folks an idea of what's going on, we have the Hidden Histories Project.
Yeah.
And can you tell us a little bit about that? We're going to be hearing about it on Brewocracy Now.
Yeah, I don't know if we've talked about it. I'm really excited about Hidden Histories. There's an unveiling planned. Happens to be at this time next week. And so I've asked KPTZ permission if we can try to do this remotely where I call in. And, you know, a huge props to Jefferson County Historical Society, PT Main Street, Nathan Barnett, who's really been spearheading this. You know, you will now be able to walk around parts of downtown when we get these new placards up and actually see, read, and interact with some of the story of the place that we call our downtown. It's a fascinating mix of colonized history, Sklallam history. And I look forward to learning myself from these very, handsome looking placards and a story that kind of unites the downtown geography. So next week, I believe around this time, there'll be a ribbon cutting. I think it's from 12 to 1. I don't know if they've totally landed that date. That was one of the likely dates. And I said, can I live broadcast? So stay tuned. Maybe next week I'm going to be phoning in and telling you what's happening.
Well, John Morrow, you and I are going to be having an actual, not a virtual, but an actual cup of coffee to talk about how we can make this happen technically. And I hope it does, because I think that it's important for us to look at our history as we look at our present. We have an adult retail store coming to Port Townsend. And the fact is, if we know our history, there's been plenty of adult retail gone on in Port Townsend, especially back in the seafaring days. So this is nothing new. We look at our history and it all repeats itself. Mm-hmm. John Morrow, we're going to sit down and have coffee. We're going to talk about how we can make that happen next week. And as usual, unless you have something that you would like to put out there.
No, I am always glad to be here, and I look forward to next week if we get a chance to be out on the street. I mean, things are happening now. There's activities and events are coming back, and restaurants look busy, and it's an exciting time after being in such a dark time for so long.
I'm happy. I'm good with it. Thank you so much, John Morrow. And until next week, join us next week for Bureaucracy Now, and we'll have, let's hope we don't have any crises that are on the plate, and then we can have fun with your questions as you write them in at dj@kptz.org. And by the way, you can do that at any time, and even during the week, and they'll be right in front of me when I go on air. So thank you so much.
Bye, Tim. Thank you.
Bye, John.